So the passage we're going to look at today, you can see up on the screen, is a lengthy one. So I've divided it into four scenes, and I've got five quotes from Jesus I want us to focus on here this morning. And so this event, as Megan told the children, is about Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It revolves around grieving and death. So let's take a look at this. Scene one. Jesus learns of Lazarus's illness. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." All right, that was scene one. Two phrases there that Jesus says I want us to take a look at. The first one, it is for the glory of God. You notice when Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 days longer. Doesn't make much sense, does it, that Jesus would do this? And he says it is for the glory of God. You see, Lazarus's illness was provided another opportunity for the Father to reveal his Son's glory. And by the way, that word glory that we throw around, you know, in church a lot, it means brightness. It means majestic power. And so he says, Jesus, it is for the glory of God that Lazarus is sick and is going to die. Second phrase from this scene. Jesus tells them Lazarus has fallen asleep. His disciples, of course, think that Jesus is being literal here, as we would have too. But Jesus is implying that Lazarus is already dead. And he uses the words fallen asleep. So remember that. We're going to come back to this. Let's go to the second scene, starting with verse 17. "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. What great faith, by the way, that Martha is showing here in Jesus. That faith that is a gift given by the Holy Spirit. She clearly has it. But she's sad. Her brother has died. And she knows Jesus could have done something about it. And notice John gives us the detail that Jesus arrives in Bethany 4 days after he got word about Lazarus. See, he wants us to know Lazarus is good and dead and he stinks. Literally. That's why he's giving us that detail. And Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Everlasting life can be found in no one else, Martha. Jesus using the words, I am, is intentional. Because that is what God said from the burning bush, remember? I am is the one who sent you, Moses. And now Jesus is saying, I am. Let's go to scene 3. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? That's the event we talked about last week. Jesus healing the blind man, blind from birth. And they're wondering, couldn't he have just healed this dude too? In this scene, we see Jesus' heart go out to the mourners. And the quote, Jesus wept. More on that later. Leads us to the final scene, scene 4. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor. Duh. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. This is the word of God. And the phrase here, of course, Lazarus, come out. So in this text, Jesus is interacting. We've seen this for the last 4 weeks from the book of John. Jesus interacting with Nicodemus. Jesus interacting with the blind man. Jesus interacting with the Samaritan woman at the well. And now Jesus is interacting with grieving sisters. So let's talk about grief here for a second. Grief, by the way, means a couple of different things. Deep sorrow. Deep and poignant distress. These are all definitions I found. Another one, anguish experienced after significant loss. That's grief. And you know, grief in our lives can come in all kinds of different ways. Let's talk about some of those ways. A job or a school change. Losing a job or having to change jobs or watching someone else get the job you should have gotten can equal grief. We can be grieved by this when these things happen in our lives. Or how about kids having to go to another school because your family moved? I remember when I was in fourth grade, I'd only known one school, one city, Atkins, Iowa, where I grew up. And my dad, who is a pastor, took a call to Minnesota. That's right, I lived in Minnesota, in enemy territory. And I survived. But I grieved that. I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay. It caused grief. Another way that can cause grief is the country we lived in is pretty divided, wouldn't you agree? You might hear things like, I'm conservative. Well, I'm a liberal. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm an independent. I'm this. I'm that. And I'm not going to listen to your opinion because only my opinion matters. And your opinion offends me. So we're not going to listen. We're not going to talk. We can't have civil conversations anymore, can we? It causes families and friends to sometimes turn on each other. It's one of those things, you know, you're not supposed to talk about at the Thanksgiving dinner table. This can cause grief in our lives. Then, of course, there's broken relationships is another one. Separations between a man and a woman, which leads to divorce, which is another form of grief. It takes a while to grieve. We can think about broken relationships within our families. Whatever the case may be, there are things that happen in families that cause issues, arguments, divisions that sometimes cannot be mended. And we have to grieve that loss in our lives. Think about friends, broken relationships with friends or people you thought were friends and really wasn't. They were only friends with you because of what you could do for them. And when you couldn't do that thing for them, all of a sudden they're no longer your friend. That can cause grief, cause us to mourn the loss of a friendship. And then there's a whole category of accidents and disasters that cause us grief. Car accidents, tragedies, like school shootings, or just people killing other people. Even if it doesn't involve us, it's something that we grieve about. Like, how can this happen? Why did this happen? We have wars all the time in our world, and we're involved in one now. This can cause us grief, especially if we have loved ones that are in the military. We have natural disasters like tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, all of which can and do cause heartache and grief. Then we get illness and diseases. When our loved one, or maybe you, receive that news that you have cancer or some other disease that stinks, it causes us to grieve. And then we have death. The granddaddy of them all, right? The granddaddy of all grief. You know, any of these things that I just listed out, the country divided, broken relationships, accidents, disasters, illnesses, diseases, death, any of these things can cause us and do cause us grief and cause us to ask questions or maybe even get angry with God. Why, God? Why? How could you let this happen, God? You could have prevented this. Why was this person's loved one healed and mine wasn't? How could I, this person who I thought was my friend, treat me this way? And maybe we even say something like Mary and Martha did to Jesus. Jesus, if only you would have been here. If only you would have healed Lazarus when he was sick. If only you would have stopped this bad thing from happening. Jesus, if only. And maybe you find yourself sometimes saying that. I know I have. Why, God? Why? And so when you are experiencing grief, whatever it is, whatever form it is, because there's all kinds of things. It's not just death. All those things I just talked about, those are all things that we grieve and we mourn. I want you to remember this event of Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And remember who Jesus is and what Jesus said. And I want you to remember these five quotes right here that I pointed out when we were going through the different scenes. In a different order. The first one, it is for the glory of God. Sometimes our prayers are not answered the way we want. Things don't always go the way we want them to go, do they? We have a time frame that we think something should happen. And guess what? It doesn't always line up with God's. It doesn't mean he's not listening or caring. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Even those accidents or broken relationships or even death or whatever it is, God can and does work good through those situations. Do we always see it when we're in that situation? No, we don't. Sometimes it's hard to see it, but when we look back on our lives, we can see, oh, wow, God was working. Second quote, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. We have a Savior who understands our grief. He understands why we grieve, because he did too. He was overcome with emotions, and the Greek word there means he wept bitterly after he saw all the other people around him, his friends, Mary and Martha, crying and weeping. He wept. He gets it when we are grieving. He loves you so much and cares for you so much. And when you are grieving, he's right there beside you. Third quote. Lazarus has fallen asleep, Jesus says. Not the only time in the Bible death is called this, asleep. It's amazing that Jesus said this. Because it is the same thing for you and for I and for our loved ones who have died in Christ before us. They're just asleep. What does that imply? We're going to wake up. Which leads to the fourth quote. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. This whole event, by the way, of Jesus bringing Lazarus out of that tomb alive is what really gets the wheels in motion for them to want to crucify Jesus. They thought they were in charge of the proceedings, but this was all part of Jesus' plan. Things are going to start to really move now. Because we're a week away from Palm Sunday when Jesus rides in from Bethany on that donkey on Palm Sunday. Jesus knew that this event right here is going to really perturb people. In fact, they were even trying to kill Lazarus so that people wouldn't believe that this happened. But this is why he came, brothers and sisters, to die on the cross, to take the wrath of God on our sins upon himself on that cross, where his Father did forsake him, so that we wouldn't have to take that punishment. He took it for us, and this is why he came. And because of this, we don't need to be scared of death. He kicked its butt by dying and rising again. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He died on the cross, yes, but he rose from the tomb 3 days later. He is risen. And you know what? Which leads to this fifth quote. We will hear those same words on the last day when Jesus comes back again, except put your name in there for Lazarus's. By the way, when we die, our souls go to be with God in his presence. Whatever that looks like, we don't know. But we know when we believers die, we will be in the presence of God. But on that last day, wherever we've been buried, Christ will say to you, Lazarus, come out. And guess what? You will come out, and we will go to be with him in heaven forever. Amen. Let's pray.